Our general agenda today is, so we spent a few days talking about Ma'amer, and we noted that Ma'amer, part of its mystery is that there are a lot of conditions which are either not in the Gemara, not explicitly settled in the Gemara, not clear from the Gemara, and there's somewhat of a question as to how they are to be resolved. So what we'll try to do today is discuss a little bit how some of the contemporary literature has taken positions on these issues. Through that, talk about some of the issues that have been raised in applying some of these questions, and hopefully therefore have somewhat of a practical perspective, if not 100% definitive, but at least somewhat of a sense of what is said practically about this mysterious malacha. So the first point that we started with, which is somewhat of an open question, hard to pin down, is the question of whether or not, in order to violate Ma'amer, one needs to pin down the package and stop it from being open. Is there a requirement that it has to be tied down? And that's where we saw that there was some ambiguity. So all over the place that there were shakas raised about this. The Ma'arach or Zeruah had said that he's really not sure what the definition is. It's somewhat of a linguistic question. Again, we discussed this on Thursday in our Parsha discussion, a really beautiful synergy that point in the first Aliyah of Vayeshev. So there is a possible reference to this. A very complicated reference because you had to bring together Unklus and Rashi and the Pasuk in order to see it. But essentially the Pasuk says, Ma'almi Ma'alumim. Unklus translates that as Ma'asarin. Asarin is tying together things. And then Rashi quotes that Unklus and then throws in the word Omrim. So apparently linguistically it sounds like from Rashi that Ma'amer means to tie things together. And the question is, how seriously do you want to take that? How much do you want to put that into the actual definition of the word? So here, in terms of addressing the issues for the Egwe Tal and reading the Meiri this way, assumes that really it's basically Hakol Lefi and Yano. Everything has its own style. So some things, Davka, are tied together, and that's the completion of their gathering process. And in that case, you have to tie it together in order for it to be Ma'amer. And there are other things that are gathered without it being tied together. And perhaps one could be in violation of Ma'amer even in such a case. The Chayi Adam and Anishmas Adam and Klal Yud Gimel. So he suggests the following distinction, which we're going to refer back to in a minute, that this is tied in, I guess, again, no pun necessarily intended, with the question of Makom Gidulo, which we'll discuss forthwith, that if you are collecting something from Makom Gidulo, says the Nishmas Adam, so then it could be Ma'amer even without tying it together. But if you want to be Chayiv and Ma'amer for something that is not the Makom Gidulo, so then it would require actual tying. So then, as we said, that brings us to the question, so what is the story of this Makom Gidulo? So this is an issue which is not the Feirush in the Gemara, if you recall. It's an issue which the Rishonim bring up. A lot of the Rishonim bring it up in Maseches Beitza and elsewhere. And the Shulchan Aruch does indeed paskin that it is a requirement, that it does have to be Makom Gidulo. But as we alluded to, the question is, there is a possible stira. Because in the next halacha, in Sif Kat Yud, Shin Mem Yud, so the Shulchan Aruch brings the din of the Rambam, that if you're putting together this fig cake, that you could be Mechayev Mishum Ma'amer in that case. And there, presumably, that's not being done, the Makom Gidulo. So for the Rambam himself, it's not necessarily a problem, because it's possible the Rambam doesn't sign on to this condition. But the Shulchan Aruch does sign on to this condition, so how exactly do we address that? So which is it? Does it have to be Makom Gidulo, or does it have to be, could it be even not Makom Gidulo? So here you have, again, similar approaches to what we just said before, in some cases the identical approach. So you have, for example, the Maaser Rokeach, and the Rambam is quoted by the later Svarim, who maintains that it's all a question of leches umnus, that it has to be done in a professional fashion. So normally that means doing it b'makom gidulo, but theoretically there is a professional type of creation that could also be done. Not b'makom gidulo. And here again, the Nishmas Adam that we mentioned a second ago at the same point. So the Nishmas Adam says, well, it all depends. That b'makom gidulo, you can be chayiv even without tying it. And not b'makom gidulo, then it would require tying. So, yes, sir.
Does that fit with the Lashon Shemar?
It fits better than leaving it alone, because otherwise you have to say that with the Shulchan, the other very dachak approach is to say that, well, maybe you're only making these cakes b'makom gidulo. You're making these fig cakes, you're going near the tree and doing it there. And it's highly unlikely that that would be the way people would make such things. So presumably, especially if it's not spelled out that that's what's going on, so presumably this is happening in your kitchen, and it's happening in your house or in your fig cake factory maybe, but probably not by the tree. So therefore, it's hard to imagine that there's not some condition in the Shulchan Aruch that's not being spelled out. Go.
Is this the same as the mirror?
It's the first approach is more similar to the Meiri. It's not exactly the same, but the Meiri is which seems to say yesh v'yesh. It all depends on the style. So it's melachas umnus is a little bit of a different consideration, but it's more consistent with it. Nishmas Adam is different. Nishmas Adam in both places is saying that makom gidulo can be without tying, and tying can be without makom gidulo. Which this is all consistent with what we mentioned last week from the footnotes in the Tosfos Rig, that there is, if you say it's got to be one or the other, right? If you take this approach of the Nishmas Adam, so what does that mean? You know, so do we need makom gidulo? Do we need tying? We should say across the board, either you need tying or you need makom gidulo. Not like you can trade, pick any one condition you want. It seems to be that this is consistent with the idea that we saw there, that this is all an attempt to give chashivas to this malacha. This is a malacha which seems to be lacking in a real effect status, and we need to find a way to give it chashivas, and therefore, apparently it could be given chashivas either through happening at the makom gidulo or happening with a formal tying process, and maybe one of the other suffices. It's consistent with what the Nishmas Adam was saying. So maybe Avram was up first.
What was the apparent contradiction with Shulchan Aruch again?
Because it sounds like from the Rambam. The Rambam has this condition of sticking together figs. Mm-hmm. That's probably not happening in Makom Gidulo. So, okay, maybe the Rambam doesn't hold from this requirement. But the problem is, the Shulchan Aruch does hold from this requirement, and then quotes this din in the Siman right in the Sif right after.
Oh, first says...
In one breath. The Shulchan Aruch first says in Sif test that you need makom gidulo, and then right away he says also you're chayiv for making these fig cakes. Okay. So it's right.
I just turned it the other way around.
Right.
So that confused me.
Sorry. Yeah. So that's to say them both in the same breath. We need to find something. So what is going to be pashtus language or not is a good question, because the pashtus just doesn't read. So we need to say something.
The other thing is that the Eli explained that it's a malachus fuminus. That works out. Does that work out really well? The fact that Ma'amir, you can't do Ma'amir in Yontif. Assuming that anything you're allowed to do in Yontif is something you do some of Klasuda.
Maybe there could be other reasons why Ma'amir is different. Some of Klasuda part of it. It could be also already have a very delimited list of malachas which we're allowed to do on Yontif. Could also be that Ma'amir could be done so far removed from when you're eating, which is a little bit related to what you're saying, but it's a different focus in terms of the Ochal Nefesh Heter, that maybe there's no justification to do an Anyantiv. The Chalkas Yov has a tshuva along those lines. So that's a whole discussion.
Because presumably anything that's ominous is not something you're doing in the kitchen.
Maybe. But even if it was, I think the point is that this is not something which has to be done immediately before the meal. So therefore, the heter ochel nefesh may not apply for that reason. And there are other boundaries to what's included in ochel nefesh and what's not that might also include, which may also exclude ma'amer, but That's one possible approach. Bill, did you...
So, if someone does non-makom gidula without tying, is it mutter or aser derabanan?
So that's a question. So that's a little bit of discussion. Well, let me get to that a little more in a second, but just we'll get to that in one more minute. But just to mention in terms of these different approaches to whether or not you could be chayiv away from the makom gidula. So we just mentioned basically two approaches, that maybe it all depends on if you're tying it, or it all depends on if you are doing it in a professional way. So Rav Harfin says a tshuva in Nishma Shabbos where he suggests that a nafkamina between the two. I think that's kind of a strange nafkamina, because anyone in this situation is already probably doing many other malachas anyway. But so we do things a little differently. Nowadays, if you package fruits, so we send them to factories. We don't have everything done on the farm and tied up there and then sold. The things are brought to a factory, the produce is brought to a factory. And at the factory, let's say they're put into boxes and then shipped around the world. And the boxes are not necessarily tied. So the professional packaging is done in the factory, but it's not necessarily tied in a way that would be considered one unit there. So if the issue is you could be chayiv, not makom gidulo, as long as you tie it, maybe that's not called tying. But if the issue is it can be chayiv if it's done in a professional way, so maybe that gufa is how we do it professionally today. So again, people who are working in factories on Shabbos presumably already have a couple of other malachas happening at the same time anyway. But as he points out, that just whether ma'amer is on the list also, that may be a nafkamina between those two reasons. So, yes?
When we say tying professionally, is it tying to kosher? Like the knots that aren't tied for kosher, would that also not be tied to
so, no, we'll mention the shayla in a second, which certainly assumes there's a distinction. That it's not necessarily about kosher in the sense that it's got to be shel kayama, although it has its own requirement. We'll mention the shayla by that in a second. So it sounds like, to answer your first question, it sounds like there's some discussion about this, that not makom gidulo, assuming you don't have these other conditions, that it's probably mutl chatchila. That even though some of the other cases, maybe there's an issur d'rabbanan, it sounds like in this case that if it's not makom gidulo and it's not being tied together professionally done, then it's probably mutl chatchila. It's the Mishmas Adam mentions why there should not be a gzeira d'rabbanan, because the gzeira d'rabbanan would be your concern, maybe you'll do this at a different place, that the same action that you're doing here you'll do somewhere else. So we normally say that we're not worried about being machlif makom v'makom, that you're afraid you're going to do this same action somewhere else, so we don't normally have such a concern. So here we're not worried about that either. So if we say that it has to be davka in that place, so then we're not going to necessarily extend that to another location. So this also is invoked in terms of the question, happens to be related to the question Gil just asked a second ago. So there is a discussion also that the Nishma Shabbos with Harfin has, what about if you have an offer on Shabbos and you want to make little bags of fruit and tie together the bags of fruit to throw at the chasm? So should you say that that's considered to be a ma'amer question? So he writes that there, you know, there is makom lahako, and here it's not happening but makom gidulo. But it sounds like the Mishmas Adam may give us reason to be ma'amer. That according to Mishmas Adam, that tying it is going to be ma'amer even not makom gidulo. So maybe one wants to be machmer for that view, even if maker adin, it seems like it's not going to be machmer if it's not makom gidulo. He points out that maybe the tzad also be machmer, quotes in the Sefer Oruv Simcha, that here, so you need them to be tied together in order to be able to throw them. So maybe therefore the tying has a chashiv, is not else kosher, but else ma'amer, that this is considered to be tying together, especially that the chay adam, the nishmas adam, would be worried about. So he's not so sure that's really considered tying, it's that it's not meant to last. As soon as you throw it, then people open it up and do whatever they want with it. It's hard to make it just on that svara alone, but the fact that it's also not makom gidulo already is a much bigger reason to be Mekel. So Mekel Adin, again, this is probably Mukter, but the Nishmas Adin maybe would have been Machmer. Hi.
Just in terms of the time, that's only in terms of produce that is tied. If you have apples, you're never going to tie them because they don't tie together. So why would you be chayav even not makom gidulo if you don't tie them? You just group them together.
Well, so again, maybe you don't have any type of chashivas after that. Maybe once they've already left the makom gidulo, so then even if there's never a situation where you're going to tie them, maybe there isn't anything that can make it mamir, except that's a little bit related to the suffix we mentioned a few minutes ago, that if you're going to bring them to a factory and put them in a box to ship to the stores, maybe that would be called mamir. But if you're going to bring them in your fridge and you're going to bring out 5 apples to bring to your family for dessert, so that's an agmachum gidulo and it's not tied together and it's not an active chashivas, so then that's...
The whole thing that the Rambam was saying was, when you put them in the box, it's only if you crush them into one unit.
Correct. It's in the Rambam's view, but not everyone has other seat, right? I think it was Jonathan first.
Do we bring the, I think it was the Tosos Rid that said that Zmana was important, therefore instead of Makom we can say...
He used the expression, Shast Lishoso.
Right.
Which was interpreted as saying something along the lines of Makom Gidulo, and then was also interpreted as his understanding of A Mimor Achar Imor, but right, he uses the phrase Shas Tulishasa.
So if it's Makom but not Bizman, it's the lesser?
That's how most others assume, yeah.
Isn't all time for Rahmer by definition temporary?
Not necessarily. No.
Why? Because you're going to process all the grain that harvested, so you're going to have to untie it and cut it up and remove the kernel and whatever, and then do a dash and things like that. So the tying is not permanent.
Well, first of all, it's not necessarily immediate. You know, by Hufa Shabbos standards, it could be more than 24 hours. You talking about in terms of kosher or in terms of
time? You mentioned the possible reason that by the offer to do the candies because of time, is, even though some would say that time shalom makom gidulo is lo yasser, so here since the time isn't permanent and meant to be temporary, so that shouldn't be a problem. But
yeah, I think it means that it's not going to last at all. You're just going to throw it right away and it's going to get untied. Here, it's got to make it to another stage of development, which could be a significant period of time. Also, the way you were describing it, that it gets untied before dash, I don't think that's necessarily the process. I think if it's all brought together into one clump, then the dash happens with that packaging.
You mean, don't they remove the kernels?
That, through the process of Adisha. I don't know if that's, that means there's anything happening in between.
Mm-hmm. And also, how would we fit in with our children?
In terms of bringing the two fruits together in your hand?
That's
a big chumra that many didn't accept. No question, he's taking a very different stance on that.
He really said the makom apple, so is he really referring to when you have them both in your hands, or if you just leave them in one place?
He's talking about holding them both in your hands, which a lot of others didn't accept, because that's very not permanent. That's very much requires consistent applied effort to hold the two together, so many did not assume that should be counted as bringing them together in any real sense of the word. Yes, sir?
When we were talking about the Arminia, we said it's wonderful because they're still different.
One of the issues is right that they maintain a different standard. They maintain a different status even when they're.
So the okra, if you had different fruits, wouldn't that be another haka?
Yes, it's discussed actually. But then the point is, even if you want to say that that's a kula, and we'll discuss that a little bit more. It's a little bit of a debatable kula. But if that is such a kula, still, what if you have two that are the same? So you have 5 different fruits, but 2 of them are the same. So the fact that the other ones are there, so the it's interesting, you could disagree.
Hadassim and your...
Right, no, but you're not tying the Hadassim already together. You're bringing the Hadassim together with the Aramas. But what these poskim are saying, that if I have 4 different fruits, 5 different items of 4 different fruits, so then 2 of them are the same, aren't those being brought together? Now, you could disagree with that. You could say that in Akanami, the basic svara is that if I'm bringing two fruits together that are the same, why should it matter that I'm also mixing in three other fruits that are different? That doesn't make it any less ma'amir just because they're present. But maybe it does. And maybe if maybe the whole idea of ma'amir is that I'm bunching together a substance, and once I introduce other substances into the package, maybe that does take away from its status as a pile of apples or a pile of oranges. Maybe it's not such an obvious svara to say that, oh, just because if I have a pile of three apples, that's a pile. So if I have a pile of three apples and one orange and one pear and one pretzel, so then why should that be any less than the first case? Maybe it is less. It's no longer a pile of apples. It's now a bunch of things. I'm not sure it's so compelling to say that we can ignore that. If we assume that mixed species is not ma'amer, it's still ma'amer as long as there's more than one of any one. I'm not so sure it's the only way to look at it, but there are those who have taken that stance when writing about this. Jonathan?
Why can't you take that to a much more extreme degree and say, according to this far, you can say if you have 98 oranges and one apple and one pear, so it's not ma'amer?
That's you're saying based on what I just said?
Yeah.
Because you could say eventually it gets bottled.
Where's the line?
Well, the line, if you have a clear row, you just mentioned 98%. So basically, you would describe that as a pile of apples that happens to have some outsiders mixed in. But if I have a mixed fruit thing, which just happens to have two of one of the items, mm-hmm. So we would look at that as a mixed fruit.
Would it be row or season
in the middle? Again, we don't have anyone who is essentially saying this, so I don't know how to define the terms. But I think it's just a question of a lashon bnei adam. Do I have a pile of apples, or do I have a mixture of things? But again, this is not the svara that the post-Kumaristin are putting forward. They're saying the other way. They're saying that as long as there is two of any one thing, so why don't you have ma'amar already, and the foreign elements shouldn't take away. So we're just suggesting that you could have been more makele. You could have said that a mixture is a mixture, even if two or three of one item is present. Okay, so what about makom gidulo? What about gidulei karka? So gidulei karka is at least a little better because at least it's mentioned in the Gemara, but it leaves us with a lot of confusion how to paskin. It seems to be that the halacha, the dominant view, is that it is by gidulei karka. We do have a requirement of gidulei karka, even though there were a lot of rishonim who were not so sure. And there is ambiguity in the Gemara, partially because there's ambiguity in terms of who's saying what. Is it Rabba? Is it Rava? What are the rules of Psak? So there is some room to question things. But it does seem to be that there is a psak in the direction that it does require gidulei karka. Expressing the view of those who acknowledge the other possibility, it's interesting. So we've discussed that the Gemara later on, which has the question of Mekoshesh Eitzim, what did Mekoshesh Eitzim violate? So one opinion was that he was in violation of Ma'amer, which would require us to say possible more expansive interpretation in other areas of what is considered to be subject to Ma'amer. Rav Kasher and the Torah Shlema, in Chelek Yerdalet of the Torah Shlema, Rav Kasher has a discussion of another equally important historical question. Yerdalet. Right, so we know that you weren't allowed to collect the mon on Shabbos. And that has a major impact on a lot of our hanhagos today, the whole Lecha Mishnah idea that we accepted, that we took two chalakim of the mon on Friday. So, what was the malach involved in picking up the mon? So he has a little discussion, he has a number of possible issues that are involved, he's got a whole quintus about it over there. But one of the issues that he considers is that he thinks that there's a significant basis to say that it was a ma'amer issue. So presumably man is not considered to be gidulei karka, so you have to follow the Rishonim who say that even if it's not gidulei karka, there's also theoretically a prohibition there as well. The definition of Gedulei Karka is also subject to some discussion. When we talked about Kotzer, so we talked about animals possibly being subject to Gedulei Karka definition, which maybe you could extend, for example, to say that eggs are considered to be Gedulei Karka. That's a big discussion whether or not that's true. It doesn't seem so clear that there's a status of Gedulei Karka for eggs. The Urayim has that phrase. The Urayim talks about collecting eggs. But there's a whole fight about whether or not that's the correct Girsa. Some suggest that instead of Beitzim, he meant to say Eitzim. Some suggest that instead of Beitzim, he means to say Besamim. So whether or not there really is a Din Min HaTorah, at least when it comes to eggs, is very much an unclear question. But the Shlisus HaShabbos and the Prima Gadim and a few others have the idea that you could extend it in a different direction, not in terms of animals, but in terms of other ground-related things that don't exactly grow. So, for example, what about salt? Well, salt is the one thing our Gemara just discussed as not being Gedulei Karka. However, there are different kinds of salt. So the situation of salt that the Gemara is talking about is salt that was extracted from water. So the water was brought to a certain shallow area where the water would collect and then the sun would evaporate the water. But there also is salt that is mined. There's rock salt. So when you get salt from the ground, or you get other minerals from the ground, so then there are those who maintain that maybe that has a status like Gedulei Karka. I say like Gedulei Karka, meaning that it has the halacha of Gedulei Karka, even though it's not literally Gedulei Karka. It's not that it grows out of the ground, and it doesn't really have a kotzer applicability, but it is connected to the ground, and enough of a process of obtaining something from the ground that it would have this din. So here, when we talked about kotzer, and it will come up again in the context of Disha, so even if you assume there's a Gedulei Karka requirement, so the parameters of Gedulei Karka may be somewhat flexible, or maybe somewhat adjustable. So in the context of kotzer, we mentioned the possible adjusting in one direction towards animals. This is a different type of adjusting that would adjust it towards other ground productions, even if they're not literally growing out of the ground. So I think it was Jonathan and Nathan.
So I think scientifically they say the salt in the sea comes from like soaking up the rocks and stuff. So according to that Prima Gadim and Shivisa's Shabbos, so they would say that the Gemara's case is also Gedulei Karka.
Except that then you have the Makom Gedulo issue.
Oh, because it's different Makom would transfer back.
Right, so then it's, I guess it's going to lose the status on one end or the other.
But still Gedulei Karka.
Right, we could do the Karka, but not the Gedulei Karka. So then, which, you know, it's clearly possible to mix and match, as we've seen among these opinions, so then maybe you may have some interesting things to say. But, you know, theoretically, Gemara's apparent exclusion would still apply. Right.
There are other minerals that we mine.
Correct, they may all be in this category. So it could be that those other minerals may also be subject to Ma'amer if they are obtained from the ground. Maybe the Gedulei Karka status is applicable to that. If you look in the Sefer Halacha Shel Shabbos, we mentioned last week, so he has a long footnote in the Parak HaMa'amer, and then Chav Gimel, he has a long footnote, everybody who agrees with this idea, and then footnote, I think Chav Dalet is everyone who doesn't agree with this idea, but this potential expansion of Gedulei Karka to including, but I think many postmen do accept this idea that rock salt and the like is subject to Ma'amer if it's being collected from the place where it is coming out of the rocks, so to speak.
Guilty of that. What about something that's clearly Gedulei Karka, say like wheat, and then it's processed?
So we'll get to that. The process makes a big difference, and we'll talk about that. So what about mushrooms? Somebody asked me about mushrooms last week in terms of, there was family, somebody asked about mushrooms in terms of kotzer. Right, so somebody was discussing it. So here, most of the poskim assume that it is considered Gedulei Karka for this purpose, the purpose of being subject to Ma'amer. The Rosh Yosef, which is the author of the Prima Gadim, it's the Sefer on Gemara, so Rosh Yosef and Shabbos on Daf Ayin Hey, had a different approach, but the Eglital challenged him on this, and many assume, like the Shvisas HaShabbos and the Shevet HaLevi and others, assume that when it comes to mushrooms and the like, so that's considered the Gidulei Karka for this purpose. What about the Menachas Chinuch's Kula within the Rambam that we mentioned last week, that it's only by Ochlin? So is that accepted by Halacha? So it doesn't seem to be. It doesn't seem to be that, first of all, it was a big deal to begin with, and it seems to be against a lot of other things. We see significant reference in Rishonim, at least, to Ma'amer by wood, and things of that nature. So wood is Gidulei Karka, but is not food. So it seems to be that even if we do limit it to Gidulei Karka, but we include in Gidulei Karka wood and leaves and branches and other things that are subject to Ma'amar as well. We mentioned last week that this is compelling because if you want to follow a Mishkan model, so clearly it seems that the Ma'amar that was being done in the Mishkan, if it was being done for the dyes, so maybe some of them were edible, but probably at least some, if not most, were not edible. So there was Ma'amar happening by non-edible things in the Mishkan. So we mentioned the Dvar Yeshua's approach that just because it was happening in the Mishkan doesn't make it an Av Malacha. Not everything in the Mishkan is Chashuv, and that's a fascinating thing to say. But at the end of the day, so here we have the fact that in the Mishkan it seems it was happening by non-food items. We have many references to it in the context of wood in Rishonim. We don't have so much of a basis to limit it except for the Menachas Chinuch somewhat questionable view. And the Menachas Chinuch's diyuk in the Rambam is also a questionable girsa. Not all girsos even have. The Menachas Chinuch was based on the fact that the Rambam says, Hama'amer ochlen im la'achila. So that girsa may not even be the correct girsa. So it's very little foundation to make such a kulav. So it doesn't seem to be that that's really accepted l'halacha. But that is still, there are other tzadim, and this is the point that Gil mentioned a second ago. So the Aruch HaShulchan and the Shvisas HaShabbos do assume l'halacha, and this is brought in many later works as well, that something that has changed form, something that has been processed, even if it starts off as Gidulei Karka, and much of the world does start off as Gidulei Karka, but then gets processed, whether we're talking about wood or metal or a lot of other things. So that presumably is not subject to Ma'amer. The Aruch HaShulchan mentions otherwise you wouldn't be able to bring your challahs together, processed wheat. But also, that I think about Ribiat in his book talks about this, he assumes that to be the case. He mentions, for example, when you talk about collecting silverware, he uses silverware as a discussion how we could possibly apply every different exclusion in Ma'amer to silverware, and if it's not pucked for this reason, it's pucked for that reason, and for that reason, and for that reason, it's not Gidulei Karka. If it is Gidulei Karka, it's processed. If it's processed, it's not Gidulei. It has enough put together that it's hard, very hard to be machmer on that shaila, but most dominantly because he assumes that this is true, that anything that is processed is already not subject to the definition of Ma'amer. Hi.
So according to that, we could say that the question with the Simcha bags is irrelevant today, with candy being all completely processed and everything?
If it's all candy, what if it's fruits? What if it's...
that's not done today anymore?
Maybe
fruits.
Maybe not in our community, we're not so interested in fruits, but if it's a fruit that's been processed, it'd be also in that category.
Is dry mixed or processed?
Yeah, that's...
What about salt, then?
Salt, right? I mean, drying by the sun or drying before? So drying by the sun, I'm not so sure, but if it's been actually processed in a factory, it's been formerly dry, I think that's more processed than the salt that was left out in the sun.
What about, like, pesticides? Does that count or not?
Like what, sorry?
Pesticides.
Want to gather pesticides?
No, like if they
have
pesticides.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I didn't see where that was going. So that's, I don't know if that's called processing. That's an external type of procedure that's not meant to develop the item. It's meant to accomplish something else. I don't think that's necessarily called processing. Okay, so we'll just maybe mention one or two other points. Maybe we'll end a little bit early. But one thing I wanted to read with you inside because it's a little bit of a question how to read this. This is actually a pretty practical issue, even though there are potentially other issues involved. So I have here the Igros Moshe, and you'll tell me what you think is the key part. Sorry? This is Aruch Chaim Chelek Daled, Simen Ayin Gimel.
Available for free in HebrewBooks.org.
Yes. So, what do you think is the ikkar of what he's getting at here? So the Igros Moshe says the following. He is talking about how he's quoted by Rabbi Eider in his Hilchos Shabbos book. And the question is, if you want to make an arrangement of flowers on Shabbos, which we alluded to last week a little bit, you have different types of flowers, so is it an issue? This is, came up a few minutes ago. If you're putting together different kinds of things. So he discusses this from two different angles. I'm going to read it out of order. I'll read this, the last paragraph first. And tell me what you think is his major focus here. It says, "Mashakasav Rav Agarni Rishimin Aider Shlita, B'shem Sefer Bade HaShulchan." The Bade HaShulchan here, this is, if I'm not mistaken, this is not the Five Okon Bade HaShulchan that they have on the Yeridea. This is the bottom of the Ksos HaShulchan. The Ksos HaShulchan was of Avram Chaim Noah, who was a well-known Talmud Chacham who we'll talk about Tochen. But he wrote a lot on Shiurim. He was a very well-known authority. And he also wrote on Hilchos Shabbos and many other such things. So here he quotes a Chumrah from the Ksos HaShulchan in the Badei HaShulchan. Ta'oseh kibbutz ha-prachim ha-shonim lefi derech ha-yofi hu chayev mitzad melachas ma'amer. That if somebody assembles a lot of flowers together to be aesthetically pleasing, so such a person is chayiv as a ma'amer. So says Rav Moshe, lo barer zeh lefi ani hazdaiti. I'm not so sure that that's true. The melachas kibbutz harbei shibolim la'arima. So that melacha involves putting a lot of things together in a pile. Aval kibbutz ha'prachim, eino enyin kibbutz arima miprachim. Elohu kibbutz prachim shonim shiatzimu lazeh, eino klal inyin melacha zu, and v'tzarchim. So here we're not trying to make a pile of flowers, that would be the issue of ma'amer. What you're trying to do is you're trying to bring together different flowers so that they should match each other, or that they should go well with each other. So that's not at all subject to this malacha, and tzarechin, that's what I think. So what's his focus there? Hi.
So it seems like that if you gather even a malacha, you will in a haphazard way, in a non-haphazard way, in an organized way, then that wouldn't be a problem.
Well, when you say organized, so what's the focus on organized? So it seems to be that what he's emphasizing is, a little bit like I mentioned before, you're not trying to make a pile of flowers, but you're trying to arrange different flowers together, they should look nice. So the focus seems to be on the different part. This is how it's quoted in some of the other Sfarim. I think there's also an element here that he's saying that this is not really useful. It's not like you put it together in a pile because you need to have a useful pile, but you put them together because they happen to look nice together. So therefore, if this is in the spirit of those who said that Ma'amir has to be a kederach ha'omrim, or for the purpose of the arima. So here you don't have a value in a pile, but you have a aesthetic benefit from things being next to each other. That's not called a pile. So what's the thrust of his kula? Is it that it's specifically different species, which is how he's quoted in some Sfarim, but I'm not sure if that's what he's emphasizing here. Or is it just that there's no real value to your pile here? You don't need a pile of something. You just want things to be next to each other because of how nice it looks. So I don't know if that answers your question. I think, presumably, I guess if you would do this at a tree also, you'd have the same svara. He's not even sure how much to rely on it, but presumably he's saying that this is not called ma'amer. Hi.
For that svar, can you say at best that he's doing the action for a different purpose, so it's just malachas shein tzichah legufa, and you're still listed to the Rabbanan?
Not necessarily, because that's what we saw also. There's one version of this maybe in the Meiri, and one version of this in the Marach or Zeruah. They said different things, but they could be both relevant here. The Marach or Zeruah said it has to be Kederach HaOmrim, like the Omrim are doing, to have a pile. He gives the example that you just, it's just convenient for you to have everything together in one place, but you don't need the pile itself without it being on there. And the Meiri has the expression that you need Kavana for the Hivun, for the Arima. So we suggested at the time, and I saw others who said things along these lines also, that maybe this is like Zomer Vein Tzarech La'etzem, that it's even Rabbi Huda might agree that this is even less than a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, that maybe it's not considered to be for the purposes of Ma'amir at all. Maybe it's not even the definition of the Malacha. Possible. I also saw, by the way, there are those who quote the Meiri L'Chumra. The Meiri says, Nid Kavana, that maybe he's saying, just like those who interpreted tying as something that be ma'amir, even not makum gidulo, that maybe if you have kavana for a pile, that's a reason to be machmer even when some other conditions are missing. Which conditions could you give up on? So it depends on what you agree exists in the first place. But that maybe the Meiri is saying a chumra, which doesn't sound like that so much in his language, but that kavana is the key element that can create a chumra even when it's not otherwise going to be ma'amir.
How much does the factor of Rosh mentioned about it being the Yulot for these arrangements that they're picked with the intention of bringing together?
How much does that factor weigh?
Because we just discussed two of them. How much is...
Right, so that's a good question. This is the entire thing that he writes about it. So my sense is that he's focusing more on you're not interested in the pile, you're interested in the appearance of the things next to each other. The fact that that there are different substances involved, I think that's less of a element. Sorry?
That's what I was trying to describe in Shira. It's a really different
thing. Right, I think that sounds like from his language that that's what he's more interested in.
Even if they were to say all the same thing,
right.
That they're chosen, that they're picked with the intention of later making this type of aesthetic pile.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what you seem to say that because they're new, not that they're just separate, but they're new to be brought together later on. That also seems to be, Ma'amir doesn't, it's like just a bring together for a pile's sake. But
for
not
a functional purpose of the pile, right. Yeah, I think so too, which is also would have an afkamina for the point that was mentioned before. So if we are focusing on the different flowers, so then what happens again if there are two or three of the same flower? So should we say the presence of the other flowers doesn't take away? So if your whole focus is on difference, so then maybe okay, but if there's some that are the same, you have ma'amir on those. But if what Rav Moshe is really emphasizing here is not that so much that they're different, but that it's not to make a pile, that's not what you're interested in, so then that also could apply even if some of them are the same, even if you have a number of flowers that are the same, which presumably you will have. Presumably somebody who's going to do something like this is not going to have every single flower different. So then that would probably also be a factor. Now he also, Rabbi Eider also quotes Rav Moshe as saying that, and this kind of throws a monkey wrench into the whole thing, that even if it's not ma'amer, so it could be a tikkun mana. That maybe it's a kind of a makdeh b'patish type of consideration that you're bringing together these flowers in a constructive way. So he discusses that in a previous paragraph. So it's a longer paragraph. We'll just call attention to some of those key sentences while we're talking about this. It says, Amashara, I don't know if it's the same quotation, because the next paragraph he quotes Rabbi Eider. Rabbi Eider does quote him as saying this, but in the previous paragraph, before he identifies Rabbi Eider, he says to his correspondent here, "Umashara kvotaras harama shani omer," that which you saw that I said. So I don't know if it's the same citation or not, but lasos kalila de prachim liyofi, lahamid babayis ukidoma. Somebody wants to make a ring of flowers for purposes of beauty to put in a house or somewhere else. So also mishum dehavi kimitaki. So I am quoted as saying that that's an issue of matake mana or makav patish to put all that together. So you said, Rabbi Frankel, who this tshuva was addressed to, that this is tamua. It's interesting. This tshuva all about putting flowers together is written the day before Tu B'Shvat. Okay, so maybe it was coming up for other purposes. So fine. So he says that you said to me that this is surprising. The Maishna Me'eged Uluva from Hadassim V'Aravus Shlo Nechshev Kemetakein Filubu Maisa against. In that case, we don't say that that's necessarily considered to be a Metakein issue to put the whole Dalad meaning together. So Lo Kasha Klal the Beluvav Shunege Rak Mitzad HaMitzvah V'Chein Kevin Shlo Tzarech Ege Ein Be'igud Shun Tikun. Since you're only doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah, that's not called tikkun, bringing it together. And then it goes into the anveyu detail, so we'll skip that a little bit. Avala siyas klu de prachim shekolas yasu hu yofi deratzan ha'inshi b'zeh u'misa'angin mehayofi. But here, as opposed to the dalad minim, where here we're bringing it together for the purposes of beauty, and people like this, Vaday Masha Derek the Inshu Asos the Ophis of the Prachim Shudavka Bakibita is a mina mea prachim af shalobi igud. So this is what people like to look at, to bring all the different flowers together, even if they're not tied together. Have a kibbutz zed mina prachim achinase rali ophis the darshan shalasos kane who is asumidin isra sias kalim. That's a problem of making kalim. Shafumadamaradain binyan bekalim ikabasias klish kijomu shamakabapatish. Even if it's not a bona issue, but it's still a makapakish issue, kitakas of Rashi, etc., etc. Shem came b'gemara, siyas kibbutz ha-prachim, dehu la-hanicham, b'kli ha-asu l'zeh, o b'igud ha-roi, if you're putting it in a vase that's made for this purpose, or in some type of a tying up that is fitting for it, la-siyazu, ikka b'zeh mishum attacking. So, even if it's not ma'amer, so there's a different issue that's involved. Ach misdaber shebeprachim hu daver she'eino misgayim she'ein b'zeh chiyuv melacha. But the truth is that it's not going to last, so maybe that's something which you could pater for.
Does it imply that there's a kshira involved?
He says either way. He says either if you're tying it together with an igud or you're putting it into a vase. So he thinks there's potentially a metakin issue there. Says, aye, but it's not going to last. So then maybe there's no chiyuv in such a situation. Aval isim ad rabbanan vada yikra. But there's dinis ad rabbanan involved. So that was what he says in the paragraph before. He says that it's not ma'amer. He seems to think that it is a metakein issue, a tikkun kli issue. The parfenis has a chuva about this, where he's not filled with it either, but he thinks that maybe once you say it's not ma'amer, it could be this, not really a tikkun kli either, because a combination of things, like Rav Moshe says, it's not going to last, and it's also not useful, it's also not really a tool, it's not something you can do anything with. So he thinks there's a couple that's starting to say that maybe it's not really usher at all if you put together all the kulas. But Rav Moshe, apparently Rav Moshe is aware of that. Rav Moshe seems to say that despite the fact that it's not used for a function, but people like looking at it this way, so therefore it's now complete as a visual delight once it's been put together. So clearly Rav Moshe is aware that that's not something you can put the physical use for, but thinks there is a tikkun mana involved as well. Okay, so maybe we'll just mention one more issue. Mentioned one or two more issues. One other issue that Pulse can talk about also, if you make a necklace by putting a string through something that is gedulei karka, which could include precious stones then, because precious stones are also taken from the ground, if they're not really, let's say, in a process state.
Not including pearl, right?
Sorry?
Not including pearl.
Not including
pearl.
Pearl, so pearl of the whole oyster situation, so what exactly the status of pearl might be might be a question. Sorry? Be like an egg. It would seem to write, so if you want to be machmer for eggs, we saw that was a questionable from the
No, it's not a chicken. Doesn't get its
sustenance from the ground.
Right.
So you probably have a harder time claiming that a pearl is a good character.
No, but it eats from the water, not
would be a harder case. Right. Although there'd probably be at least a drabbanan involved, you know, of consideration. So making a necklace out of most things with a string is probably going to at least involve Rabbanans or possibly Zoraisas, depending on what we're using and what we're defining as Gdulei Karka and all the like. It's probably going to border on Zoraisa, not an issue of a Rabbanan. What about, this comes up this time of year, so you have leaves falling on your pavement or on your street in front of you and you have to make a pile. So it's not the ideal Shabbos activity either for various reasons. But there is, as the Parfenis has a truth about this also, that it is likely that it's not real Ma'amer, because here again, as we saw, that there is an assumption that Ma'amer has to be for the purposes of the pile. And here, this is really for the purpose of getting rid of it. Now, you have to put it in a pile so that you can get rid of it, but again, it's mostly so that it shouldn't be where it is, so you certainly have no interest in using it for anything, you are interested in getting rid of it. So that's a big tzad l'hakel, together with the fact that the street is really not makom gidulo. If you have a pavement directly under a tree, so then maybe you could call that the makom gidulo, but really what you have is that it's blown and it's fallen a little bit farther away from the tree, and that's how it ended up on your street or on your pavement, which is presumably, not always, but presumably not directly connected to the tree, and therefore, so it's not exactly makom gidulo, and it's not for the purpose of the pile, so there is a strong tzad l'hakel for this purpose. Again, you know, it's not the kind of thing you would choose to do on Shabbos if you could do it during the week, but it's probably not, strictly speaking, a actual ma'amer issue. I think we're saying to go first.
Would that also be a possible emotion to you? You don't care about, you don't want to bring them over there, you just want to talk.
Right, so it's I think it's for sure a malacha shen shvi'chu l'gufa, but we could say it's even better than a malacha shen shvi'chu l'gufa. That seems to be definitely a malacha shen shvi'chu l'gufa, but a malacha shen shvi'chu l'gufa is also a drabanan issue. So maybe we could maybe even knock it down even a little bit lower and say that it's really not ma'amer to begin with. This is not the pile you're interested in having or using. It's a pile, even though you have to say it a little bit more expansively, because there is an issue of, it's not like you're stomp sweeping the floor where you're just interested in getting the dust away from you. Here, a stage in getting rid of this stuff is putting it into a pile so that it can be taken away later. So there is some degree of interest in the pile, but the pile itself is not because you want the pile, it's the pile to be somewhere else. That seems to help. Find with a question about that?
Is there really a difference between the leaves falling off the trees, because they're dead? It's not like the apples fall off the trees directly. These things are not, they're like nothing embedded, you know?
Except that it's a question how much of a difference that should make. Once they're dead, a lot of things, a lot of the Gedulei Karka no longer has any...
Right, but like you're harvesting wheat like while it's alive, because it was alive, like you wouldn't harvest dead wheat.
More of a kotzer relevance. Would it have so much of a relevance to this purpose? We could talk about it. We talked about it a little bit in the context of kotzer, taking something off a tree that's already dead. Maybe that is somewhat of a discussion about. And then there, you know, come out looking also, but there's somewhat of a debate. Here, once it's already fallen off, I don't know if it makes much of a difference. Hi.
Just in response to that, can we say, like Felicia, that something that's ripe, then there's no conversation whether it's considered still yomink or not. So then would be akin to it being dead. Just because we say it's right, that's supposed to be leaves being dead.
I should emphasize, by the way, once we talk about halacha l'maisa, when we talk about this, then also I'm not sure how clear it was about it. L'maisa, most consider that still to be an issue of kotzer. It's just that there was a discussion that Tosfos in Shabbos, which seemed to be machali. So there was what to argue about it on the Rishonim level, but halacha, it's presumably still a Tosfos issue, or something is no longer drawing nourishment from the tree. But how do you want to apply it to?
Well, I'm saying women get the same definition of dead. See, there's no definition.
Let's say it is. So what's the difference if something is dead from mom or
person? There's no difference between an apple that's ripe and not.
Right,
I think that wants to fall.
Yeah, I don't think it should make a difference. I think it's going to come out basically the same way.
Raking leaves. Would carpenters only allow it on pavement if leaves fall on pavement?
That's how, well, if by the time you get to them, they're on pavement. In general, you don't have requirements, you don't have a need to get rid of leaves that are on grass. And the issue usually comes up because it's in the street, you know, it's blocking the cars, it's on the sidewalk. So the issue generally comes up because it's on something that is paved, sidewalk or the street. So there already, that's already it's not bahako because it's not exactly makom gidulo. Now it could be that it almost is, that if you have pavement immediately next to a tree, so the it's fallen from the tree onto the pavement, but in most cases it's shuffled a little bit, and if it's blown from the grass to the pavement, that's already not makom gidulo. Hi.
Well, how come it's not an issue of udechol or marasayin, something like that?
So the question of the chol, again, we don't know exactly what the parameters are, so we only have what the Gemara is giving us, and Marasayan, it looks like exactly what it is.
So you're doing Mamer almost, no?
But Mamer, if Mamer doesn't apply in these situations, so then what's the Marasayan?
Yeah, I guess.
Right. As I mentioned, discussing with some people before, that the Gemara does have a discussion of bringing fruits in one hand at a time. And talks about Ovdu Dachal here, and discussing it. There is some ambiguity in general about what is Ovdu Dachal for the most part. And some understand that Ovdu Dachal is something which does look like a malacha and has the potential to lead you to a malacha. And the way I was understanding that, it's not spelled out so much, but apparently it's a lower level of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanans are things that Chazal were really concerned would actually likely lead to a malacha, and therefore asur in a chomer way. And there are other things which have a looser connection, where we can more easily apply certain exemptions, we can more easily apply, let's say, makom mitzvah, or with a shinoi, which isn't necessarily always going to be helpful right away for the rabbanan. But of the chol seems to be a lower level of prohibition. But again, without the sources from the Gemara, it's hard to know when to apply it because we don't really have very clear rules as far as what's considered to be Ovdu Dachal and what's not. Okay, any questions about any of that? Okay, so those are, again, the basic approaches that you find to some of these issues. So again, most of these considerations of Gidulei Karka, Makom Gidulo, and the like do seem to be acceptable halacha for the most part, but still have sometimes Rabbanan issues, and should be aware of the cases in which this comes out. Our plan for tomorrow, probably Tuesday,